Happy Father's Day. I'm Mike Salem, and welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and this special Father's Day broadcast. How thankful I am for having a godly father. You know him as Pastor Salem. His impact on my life was immeasurable, and I'm grateful that his love for Jesus was so abundantly evident in how he lived his life. Someone once said, "I would rather see a sermon than hear one any day." I was able to see a sermon in my dad's life every day. He wanted everyone to hear the good news that Jesus loved them and wanted them to receive him as their personal Savior and then live for Jesus and grow in their faith. That continues to be our goal here at Christian Worship Hour, to carry on with broadcasts of Dad's messages that he preached for 76 years. The message is and always will be the same because the gospel never changes. Thank you for your support. Through your prayers and financial gifts, we are able to keep spreading the good news. We hope you will be nurtured by today's message titled, A Royal Father's Last Words. God bless you and happy Father's Day.
I'm Pastor Salem and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And this is a very special day and a very special day because we're talking about our fathers, Father's Day. And we want to have something that will just encourage the dads. We appreciate them, Christian fathers, so much. And we want to just encourage and thank them and thank God for them. So just stay tuned, and we're going to talk about our dads. We're reading from Psalm chapter 25 today, the opening verses. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in the truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation, and on thee do I wait all the day. And so we rejoice today, Heavenly Father, that we can trust you and lean on you. And we're praying especially today for fathers, Christian fathers especially. And if there's some of the fathers that don't know you, we pray that in this service they'll turn their life over to you and get strength and help to be all that you want them to be and all that children need to have as a father. And I just pray that everyone will know you and that you'll bless fathers and encourage them. And always we, Lord, do it to honor you and to bring glory to your name. We pray it in the Savior's name. Amen. And Melissa has a special song today she's singing for the fathers, I Am Made New. And so God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Spend so many hours inside this prison cell, balancing between heaven and hell. With a past like mine and all I've done, how could I ever be good enough? I want to believe, I'm searching for faith, hoping at last to find into my heart, save me from sin. Lord, you're my only hope to be made new again. I found a Bible someone left behind and read each tattered page, line by line. The words awaken a fire in me. Please forgive me and set me free. I want to believe, I'm searching for faith, hoping at last to find your grace. Come into my heart. Searching for faith, hoping at last to find your grace. With you in my heart, I'm saved from sin. Now I know, Lord, I am new again. Now I know, oh Lord, I am new.
Thank you, Melissa. God bless you. And we're dedicating that to all of the fathers today. Hope you're just having a wonderful day and everything will just break right all day long. And we want to thank you for the letters that you write. And we always like to share some of them. We hear a lot of people like to hear what other people are thinking, where they live and what they're going through. And so we're glad to share these with you. And but before I do that, if you want to turn to 1 Kings chapter 2, we're going to be reading from 1 Kings chapter 2 in just a few minutes. The first letter I want to read is from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And this is a lady and she's writing, I turned my TV on Sunday afternoon and I think it was Daystar and I heard you talking. The subject was elderly, old people. I'm 77. In the last few years, I've been thinking of myself as old and ugly. After listening to your sermon, I discovered that I am only old. I didn't catch your name or if you had a number I could call. I'd very much like to get a copy of the sermon. There were wonderful verses on seniors from the Bible. I didn't know how much God really liked old people. God be with you and your wonderful program. Never heard a sermon on the elderly before. It was beautiful and showed me God's love and God's blessing. And that's exactly what we want to do on this program. We have three things in mind on the Christian Worship Hour. And the first thing is to bring honor to God, to glorify God. That's the first thing. The second thing we want to do is bring people to saving grace, to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And we give that invitation every sermon and sometimes several times during the sermon. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you need to call on Jesus for salvation. And that's the second thing. And the third thing we're doing in the Christian Worship Hour is comforting God's people. A lot of times it's old people, but sometimes it's young people. There are young people having real struggles. Some young people can't find work. They're out of college. They can't find work. Some don't know what they should do for a life profession. Some don't know what they're going to have for a life's companion. And they have a lot of things to be thinking about. So we comfort God's people, but especially those in old age and who are shut in and can't get around anymore. God has a special message and a special love for you. And you just lean on Jesus and just smile where you are, bloom where you're planted. And that's why we're here. We're to give honor to God and to bring glory to his name. The next one I have is from Kyla, Montana, and says, I'm 80 years old and want you to know how much I enjoy your service. I no longer can see well or hear well, so I quit going to church. But God bless you for the peace you bring me. And so that's the reason we can bring peace is because we bring the Word of God. That's where the power is. It's not in the sermon. It's not anything we think or say. It's what God says. That's where the power is. And that leads us to salvation. And that also gives us comfort and strength and help. And when we just put our faith in the Lord, he'll never leave us or forsake us. It's a wonderful thing to talk about the presence of the Lord. And he's with everyone who trusts him and loves him. Well, here's one. Look at this. Claremont, Florida. My 12-year-old grandson said he will be sad if you go off the air. I'm praying for you and your ministry, your sister in Christ. Godspeed. Well, we don't want to go off the air either. And so we need your help. And this is the way we figure it. We're preaching the Word of God and we're doing it for the Lord to honor him. If he wants this to continue, he'll pay the way. If he doesn't pay it, it means he's done with us and to close shop and do something else. And so that's just the way we live. So we'll be here, if God gives, lets us live and he pays the way, well, we'll just carry on with the gospel. So just keep that in mind, and I'll tell you a place where you can send your gift. But we'll do that in just a minute or two. Here's Pierre, South Dakota. And this is a lady that writes and said, I have been saved 3 different times, but feel like I haven't been saved. Could you please give me advice to lead me down the path? Sincerely. Well, first of all, we've sent literature, and we write to all these people that have questions, and we send her literature. But here's what she's saying, that she's been saved 3 different times. Now Jesus said you must be born again. He didn't say you must be born again and again and again and again. You were born once physically, and you can only be born once spiritually. So don't be praying to be born again. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus, you've been born again. But I'll tell you where your problem is. She says here, I've been saved 3 different times, but feel like I haven't. Don't ever go by feelings. If you go by feelings, you're lost in the woods. Feelings doesn't have a thing to do about salvation. Now, when you accept Jesus, you may feel happy, you may feel joyful, you may feel peace, you may not feel anything. Because when we accept Jesus Christ, it's a contract. We're entering into a contract. He says, if you call on me, I'll save you. And so we call on him and he saves us. And some days you'll feel like you're saved, and sometimes you'll feel lower than a snake's belt buckle. You'll just feel like there's no hope anywhere, see? Forget the feelings. And the longer you walk with the Lord, the more sure it'll be. And the feelings will come. You'll just know that God's going to keep his word. And you can rejoice. Here's Ormond Beach, Florida. My husband is 81 years old, fighting prostate cancer and has spread to his bones. We humbly ask your prayer team to pray for him, and we're doing that. He always says every Saturday night as we lay down to sleep, meet me in the morning for our date, meaning the Christian worship hour. We both love your honest, devoted style of preaching so much as we certainly hear the Lord's voice, and that's because God's word is speaking to her, the Holy Spirit. You see, what we do is we just give out the word of God. Anybody can do that. A parent could do that. So we just give out the word of God, and then the Holy Spirit takes it, and he applies it to hearts all over the world. We don't know what the spiritual condition is of people anywhere, but the Holy Spirit knows it. You need this. You need this. You need another thing. You need comfort. You need conviction. You need to be riled up and face your sins. You need to be made miserable. So you turn to the Lord. We need to get under your skin. He knows all those things. So we just preach it, and he takes it, and glory to his name. Here is Overland Park, Kansas. And she puts it a little different way here. Keep up the great work. We love your services. Half tank until Sunday refills. So, you don't run out of gas, and I hope I don't run out of wind. But I got quite a lot of wind. And, I read about one place where they took this fella. He just preached. Oh, he was terribly long-winded. And he had to go to the hospital, and they had a new nurse, and they told her, now you go and take his temperature. And so she went in there, and instead of the thermometer, she took the barometer. And she came back and says, it reads dry and windy. So maybe that's my department. And we'll just keep going till the Lord tells us to stop. When he says stop, we'll stop. Here's Centerville, South Dakota. We are sending this memorial for Mom and Dad, who both went to join our Lord and Savior this fall. Dad was your age, enjoyed your services when he was no longer able to go to church. He didn't know his children's names at the end, but if you told him it was Sunday, he'd go to the TV and turn it on to wait for the Christian worship hour to come on. So here's a man that All of the world's kind of drifting away, but not Jesus. And one more that I want to share, and this is from the prison in Denver, Colorado, women's prison, I think. And they write and say, thank you so much for the book that you sent. It did help a ton. I do have faith that I am forgiven and going to heaven now. But I have another question. What about when judgment day comes? I heard that it is just for Christian works here on earth and not our sins. So God won't bring up my sin of murder on that day and judge me for it. And so she said, there's two judgments in the Bible. There's a judgment seat of Christ, and that's for Christians. And all of us are going to be judged for how we serve the Lord if we give him time and talent and money, at least 10%. What are you doing with your tithe? And so we're going to be rewarded for our works. But as far as the salvation of our soul is concerned, that's all settled when Jesus, when we call in the name of the Lord, he washed away our sins, so we'll never have to pay for our sins. But there's also the judgment of the great white throne in the book of Revelation. And that's to see if, it is not to see if you get into heaven, but it is to judge people because they rejected Christ, and they'll have to pay for their sins in a hell forever and ever. God have mercy. And so we just pray all the time. You'll give yourself to the Lord. And he says, though your sins are scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they'll all washed away. He says in Hebrews, their sins and iniquities that will I remember no more. And when you come to Jesus, those sins are gone, never to be faced. But we do have to give an account for the time we spend on earth as Christians. But it's not to see if we get into heaven. That's all settled. So we thank you for the letters. It's just been a blessing to all of us, and we just and it encourages us, and we try to answer every question, a spiritual question. Now, sometimes you'll write in, and they want to know some political thing and this and that, and is this the Antichrist and so on. But we just want to talk about your soul, the things spiritual, and we try to answer everyone you write. So you can write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we need to have your gifts. We need to have your help. And so what you need to do is just say, now, dear Jesus, is this something that you want? Do you want us to underwrite this service? Do you want us to have a part in it? And God will tell you. If he tells you yes, or he tells you no, and he'll tell you how much to give, just pray and do what God says. And maybe he wants you to give somewhere else. That's fine. There are other good services on that God has going. And so, and then your church, you want to help your church. And so just pray, and then you can give as God lays on your heart. And then I want to tell you about a little publication we have, and it's called The New Song, The New Song. And it's a little Bible study every month. And this month it's about what is true love? What is true love really like? And I think you'll enjoy it. It's a good little study. And we'll send that if you write to us. We got it on the screen there. Those of you on shortwave radio, it's the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And so we just thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do. And thank you all for supporting us over the years. God bless you. So now I'm going to have a little prayer. Then Jan's going to play. And then you give as the Lord directs. Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us and giving us so much, and some have so much. And dear Lord, we all have something. And so just help us to know what you want us to do in the matter of giving. And we'll just take whatever you give us, and that's what we'll use, and that's where we'll go with it. We'll go as far as we can go. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. We're reading from 2 Kings chapter 2 today, the opening verses. And David is on his deathbed, and he calls for his son Solomon. He wants to talk to him one last time. And this is what we read. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart, with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. And we're going to pray, and in our prayer today, we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters in South Africa. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story of David, who was a man after your own heart, and though he had great sins, he was cleansed in the blood of the Lamb, and he lived for you and left many good lessons. And now in this story, he talks to his son. And so today, Lord, we pray for the fathers. We're so thankful for Christian fathers, and we pray that their numbers may increase. And we pray that if there are those listening today, dads listening today, and they really don't have a personal relationship with you, that they'll reach out to you. And you know, we know that you'll receive them. He says, come unto me, and I'll give you rest, and I'll take your burdens, and I'll give, my burden is light, and I'll give you a work to do. And so may your blessing rest upon the dads today. And Lord, we want to pray for our brothers and sisters in South Africa. And we know that many of them are homeless now. We know that some have been put to death and had to lose loved ones that way. And we know, Lord, that the moment that they give their life, that they're in your presence and they receive the martyr's crown. So we don't pray for them because they're in your presence and rejoicing, but we pray for those left behind. And we know, Lord, that you love them and you care for them and you'll never forsake them. You'll help everyone, the widows and the children and the parents and the loved ones. And just help us, Lord, we just pray that you come right away and put an end to all of this suffering and all of these evil things. And yet, maybe you're going to wait a little because just give some poor lost sinner another chance. Someone on the way to hell, to give them a chance to turn and be saved. So we just leave everything in your hands, rejoicing that we know that you'll do all things well. Pray that you bless us now as we continue in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. And Barb has a song, Daddy's Hands. And God bless you, Barb.
I remember Daddy's hands folded silently in prayer, reaching out to hold me when I had a nightmare. You could read quite a story in the calluses and lines. Years of work and worry had left their mark behind. I remember Daddy's hands as they held my mama tight and patted my back for something done right. There are things that I've forgotten that I loved about the man. Always remember the love in Daddy's hands. Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I was wrong. And I've come to understand there was always love in daddy's hands, working till they bled, sacrificed unselfishly just to keep us all fed. If I could do things over, I'd live my life again and never take for granted the love in daddy's hands. Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I was wrong. Daddy's hands were always gentle, and I've come to understand there was always love in daddy's hands. Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I was wrong. Daddy's hands were always gentle, and I've come to understand there was always love in daddy's hands.
Well, thank you, Barb. God bless you. And we always think of our dads, and I think of my father. And, you know, my father was really a wonderful man, and he was kind-hearted. He'd give you the shirt off his back, but he didn't know Jesus. And that's why I talk about my mother so much, is because all of my spiritual I got from my mother. My dad couldn't share that because he didn't have it. But I have to want to tell you something about my dad. I accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old. And from that day, I prayed for my dad for, I'll bet you, about 30 years, something like 30 years. I prayed that he'd come to Jesus. And it took about 30 years, and lo and behold, we had evangelistic meetings. My dad came, and he went forward and prayed to receive Jesus. And I just thank God for that, so I know I'll see him in heaven. And it was kind of funny, because whenever I was praying after that, I was praying that Dad would be saved. And here he was saved. He accepted the Lord. But I prayed it so long, I kept praying it for I don't know how long. Finally got over it. Dad was saved, and Dad is in heaven. And I'm just thinking today, there may be some fathers you're watching today, and you've never opened your heart to Jesus. You've never been born again. You haven't had your sins taken away. And you, I tell you, friends, you can't be the real father or grandfather you should be unless you have Jesus. And you can't give something away you don't have. Unless you have Jesus, you can't tell others about him and really speak to their heart. So right to this service. As a matter of fact, right now, I just feel led by the Spirit to tell you, why don't you pray right now before we even get into the sermon? And that is just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And then say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to take away my sins, to wash them away. And then I just will serve you the best I can. And then thank him for saving you. Thank you, dear Jesus, for saving my soul. And then you go and thank him. And then you go and tell somebody what you did. You could do that. And I hope you will. So we're going to look at fathers. But before we say too much more, I want to make an announcement, and that is next Sunday, Lord willing, I'll be 95 years old, and so I'm going to preach the 95th Psalm. So you can pray for that Psalm 95. Next Sunday, we'll celebrate my birthday. In this story we read in 1 Kings chapter 2, we have David on his deathbed. And you know, when you get on your deathbed, you need to listen to what people are saying, because they are there looking at life at a total different perspective. And many times they have words of wisdom. And so they will talk. They don't have anything, any axe to grind, or they're not trying to get anything from you or anything like that. They're just speaking from their heart and from their soul. And that's what David did here. He's on the deathbed. and he calls for Solomon to come. And Solomon comes, and then he speaks as a wise king. He speaks as a king, first of all, and then he speaks then as a father to his son. And he calls for his son Solomon to be at his side and hear his speech, and then he talks to him. Now, David is going to give him some instructions. And, of course, David wasn't a perfect man. And we have to remember this with our fathers. There's none of us that are perfect. I'm a father and a grandfather and a great-grandfather. And sometimes people get mixed up and call me father. They think maybe I'm a priest or something. So that's just fine with me. But no father is perfect. We're human beings. We all have our feet of clay. And so David didn't have a good life in some ways. But I tell you what he did. He went to God and he confessed his sin. And he asked God to cleanse him of all of his sins. And so that's what he will do. When we fail, we go to God in prayer and ask him to forgive us. And I'm telling you something else about children. When we make our mistakes, they know if we're genuine or not. And if it's from our heart, we're serving the Lord and walking with the Lord, then they can tell if our radio were genuine or not. And when we make our mistakes, as we all do, they'll love us and forgive us. And I know with my dad, he wasn't perfect, but I love him dearly. And he was always good to me and kind to me. And I'm going to see him in heaven. I was going to be a great time to see him again. But David, in spite of all of his sins, yet there's something told about him that's not told about anything else in the Old Testament. And that is, David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man after God's own heart. He committed adultery. He committed murder. He had terrible sins. But that just shows that God knows really the intent of his heart, that in his heart he really loved God. In his heart he wanted to serve God. But sometimes the lust of the flesh, the old flesh sells us out, and the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. And we can get grievous sins, and none of us is beyond those. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And we don't know how weak the flesh is. And so though David has some grievous sins, he made that prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and cleanse me from all my iniquities. And God said, they're all washed away. And I'll remember your sins and iniquities no more. And just like this letter, this one person wrote in, will God judge me for my sins when I get to the judgment seat of Christ? When I get to the judgment, and she's thinking about the judgment, the great white throne. But this Christian will never go to the great white throne. If you accept Jesus, it's all washed away. But if you don't, you'll go to that throne and you'll hear him say, depart from me into the lake of fire. And with the devil and his angels, and the fire that burns forever, and there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's a terrible thing. And we just beg you to turn to God and find peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. So David's going to talk to his son, and he's going to make four statements. The first thing he tells Solomon is, I go the way of all the earth. In calmness and quietness, he utters these words. And that's what every one of us is going to do unless the Lord returns. We have the rapture. There'll be some people that'll never die. When with the rapture, those that are alive in Christ will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Dead in Christ will be raised first out of the graves and the tombs and the sea or the fires, lost in fires and floods and wherever it is, they'll all be raised up. And then those of us who are alive and remain Christians will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So some people won't ever die, but the rapture will have to save you. So I wouldn't count on that a lot. Could be any minute, but eventually we're the way of all flesh. And so the slave or the king, the beggar or the rich, the outcast or the exalted, the high or the low, it doesn't matter. We all go that way. I go the way of all the earth. The Spanish have an old saying that says, when the game is over, that is the chess game. When the game of chess is over, the king and the pawn go in the same box. There's no difference then. Death will take us all. And that's what David is saying. And he says, you know, some people, they don't want to talk about death. I know a woman that they had to get somebody to take care of her in her old age. And they told them when they came to work, whoever was going to do the work for her, they said, don't you ever mention death in her presence. Never say it, because she was afraid of it. And so there's some people that they're just afraid. They won't talk about it. Some people won't think about it. Some people won't face it. Some people just think they're going to live forever. But it's just going to come, and they're going to have to face death. And when David faced it, he faced it calmly and quietly. This is what we're told in Psalm 39. This is the way David said. David writes this. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. Mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely, every man walketh in vain show. Surely, they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. That can be written in the Living Bible. It reads like this. My life is no longer than my hand. My whole lifetime is but a moment or two. But proud man, frail as breath, a shadow, and all his busy rushing ends in nothing. He heaps up riches for someone else to spend. And so, Lord, my only hope is you. And so that hour is going to come to you, my friends, and you need to be ready. And you'll never be ready until you have Jesus as your Savior. You have to be born again, and then he'll take away the sin and he'll take away the fear of death, because the sting of death is gone. Jesus paid for our sins on the cross. He was buried and raised and put in the grave for 3 days and three nights. And then he was raised and victorious over death in the grave. And we are in Christ. And so death can never put us down. Physical death can take us out of this world, but spiritual death can never harm us. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, Jesus said. And he told Martha that you'll live forever. You'll have everlasting life. So that's what we're doing. We're telling you to come to Jesus, to put your faith in Jesus and find in this wonderful Lord. So David is a good father because he's talking about his spiritual welfare of his son. And so many times we have people, fathers, and maybe they're not Christians, like my dad. He didn't know about Jesus. He couldn't tell me about spiritual things. He didn't know anything about them. But Solomon here, David here, is a man, and he's a godly father, and he's concerned about the welfare of his son, the spiritual welfare of his son. And when he says, be like a man, he's mean, be courageous, be strong in the Lord, be strong in Christ, in God. And Solomon says, though you're young and you're spirited and you have life before you, there's going to come a day when you're going to have to face death. And so he says, you put your faith in God, trust God. And then we'll see, he talks about obeying God. That comes a little later. So here's Solomon, he comes in, and notice what he does. He reverences old age. He reverences old age. We don't have a lot of that in America today. Old age is more despised than revered so many times. Ronald Clapp has an article, and he writes, in some cultures, old age has been respected. The wisdom of the ancient Greeks was seen to reside especially in older people. The Hebrews were told to rise in the presence of the aged to show respect for the elderly, Leviticus 19, verse 32. Modern Japan looks on its elderly with reverence, but not so in the United States. In our country, all too many times, old is synonymous with useless, rundown, and obsolete. But Solomon wasn't that way. And he reverenced this man. He reverenced his father. And he respected old age. And that's what we need to do, my dear friends. And I know, I face it, they talk about ageism. We have it in America. And what you do, just spit in their eye and just go on and carry on. Because it doesn't matter what age you are, young or old, God has a plan for you. And he's not going to take you out of this world until that work is done, that plan is completed. And so just serve the Lord. And that's what David is telling Solomon. He's telling Solomon, You live on for the Lord as long as you live. And Solomon is there and he's respecting his old dad. He's respecting old age. And God will honor you for that, for honoring people in old age. I've seen some children who are kind of, their parents are kind of getting along in age and they're tottering a little bit and they forget and all that. And they're just a little bit ashamed of them. I've worked with those people when having sermons and services and all. And so we just need to be sure that we respect our father and our mother and I honor them no matter what the age. And so David talks to his son and he's interested in this moral and the spiritual part of his life and he's concerned. And then he gives him the second thing. He says, be thou strong, show thyself as a man. Show thyself as a man. And when I read that, I always think of when I was a boy and we were on the farm and we'd have hired men come in. And some of these men in my day, and that was 70 years ago, 80 years ago. If you want to be a man, first thing you had to do is swear. You had to use some swear words. And then the second thing you had to do, you had to smoke. You had to be able to smoke. And so that's what they did. Sometimes we have 2-3 hired men. I can only remember one of those hired men that didn't smoke and didn't swear and curse and all that. There's my mother in the house, and she's praying. She has 4 boys. And we're facing that all the time. We want to be a man. And if you're going to be a man, you got to smoke. And so there they are. And my mother prayed, and we never fell into it. By the grace of God and the mother's prayers, there's power in prayer, and I think there's special power in mother's prayer. And I think there's special power in children's prayers. Because when the little children pray, they're so innocent, and they believe so strongly that God doesn't want to disappoint them. And I think he answers their prayer if it's possible, if possible at all, because that little child is praying with a childlike faith. And my mother prayed for those sons. So that's what David is talking about. He's talking to Solomon. He's talking to be courageous, be valiant, be holy, be good, be clean, be strong, be a man of your word. He's not talking something about smoking cigarettes. I don't know if they had cigarettes then. I suppose they had a pipe. I'm sure they had a pipe. There's some way they'd get that stuff into their system and destroy themselves. But he's talking to him. He says, be a strong man. And so as Christians today, we have to be strong when we're in the battle of Satan. He's going to try to do everything he can to discourage us. Supposing you're active in your church or you're active in some Christian service, and he's going to fight you every way he can. And David is telling Solomon, when the devil strikes you, when the devil comes to fight you, then you have to be strong. And don't think he won't come. Don't think you're such a great, strong Christian that he won't ever come to face you. He'll come. Look at what he did. When he wanted somebody to deny the Lord Jesus, he took the treasurer, Judas, didn't he? And who would the disciples trust more than the treasurer? If you're going to have somebody keep your money, who are you going to pick? You're going to pick the one you trust the most, aren't you? They picked Judas. Couldn't have picked worse. But the devil came to Judas and got him to deny the Lord with a kiss, betray the Lord, sell him out. When he wanted somebody to curse Jesus, he got to Peter and he got him by that fire. It took a little maid. A little maid pointed her little old bony finger at him and says, you're a Galilean. You're one of them with Jesus. And he swore that he didn't know him. He went right to the strongest, the chief of the apostles, Judas, Peter. Oh, listen, you know what he did? The devil went to Jesus, the Son of God, and tempted him, tried to tempt him. 3 times at least, and there may have been more, but there's 3 recorded in the Bible. And what did he do? It was at the temple, the church, that he went. The devil is there, and he's there to hit you and to hit us hard, and none of us are safe. And that's why we have to be like Solomon here. David is saying, Solomon, now you be courageous, you be strong, be a man about it, and you resist the evil. And there's idol worship on every side all around us. That's what the heathen are doing, and you have to resist that. and you have to resist this temptation to be proud as a king. Oh, there's a many things that came to Solomon, but David prayed for him, and Solomon saw it through, and he stuck with it, and he obeyed him. And then David goes on, and he talks to Solomon, and he says, you need to obey God's word and listen to what God has to say. He says it to him, this wonderful God. He says, obey the commandments and the statutes and all of the rest of it. He says, listen to the word of God. And that's what we have to do, my friends, if we're going to live for the Lord. We have to have the word of God, and we have to obey it, and we have to revere it, and we have to honor it, and we have to preach it. And God knows some places not preach very strong, very much. But you ought to do that, because when you preach the word of God and use the word of God and depend on the promises of God, those promises are eternal. Heaven and earth will pass away, but their promises will never pass away. And that's something that's stout and abiding. And after long, this whole world is gone. And Peter says it's going to be dissolved with a fervent, with a great noise, and it's going to disappear, and there's going to be a new heaven, a new Jerusalem coming out of heaven. That's going to be the new creation. When that all comes to pass, the word of the Lord will still abide. It will stand forever and ever. Lean on the word. And so this little, just follow them. And in doing that, you see, what we're doing, we're being an example to other people. We're showing other people how to live. Because you can't do just talk about it. You have to live it. You got to live it. You got to walk it. And you got to talk it. It's time to talk and it's to walk it. And always live that life so that people can notice it. On Father's Day, there's a little poem that talks about this, how that we need to walk that clean life and live that life according to the commandments of the Lord. It's entitled, The Little Chap Who Follows Me. And it goes like this. A careful man I ought to be, a little fellow follows me. I do not dare to go astray for fear he'll go the self-same way. I must not madly step aside where pleasure's paths are smooth and wide and join in wine's revelry, a little fellow follows me. I cannot once escape his eyes where'er he sees me, so he tries. Like me, he says, he's going to be the little chap who follows me. He thinks that I am good and pure and strong, believes in every word of mine. The base in me, he must not see the little chap who follows me. I must remember as I go through summer sun and winter snow, I'm building for the years to be a little fellow who follows me. On our deathbed, can we say with David, be strong, show thyself a man. He says, take courage, and then he says, walk in his ways. And that's what we have to do all of the time. That's why we need to read the Bible. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to have time every day. And I try to do it in the morning, because then we have the whole day to guide us and to help us. Lean on the Lord and listen to his word and follow him. And then you get strength and you give guidance. You don't know what a day is going to bring forth. You don't know what you're going to have to face. And so start the day with the Lord, if at all possible. But try every day to read that Bible and to have prayer. Maybe you want to have a devotional book. I use a devotional book along with my study. But just so you get into the word and get strength. And then finally he said that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest. And now here we have to be careful, because with Solomon, David is telling Solomon, God is going to prosper you. If you are obedient to him, he's going to prosper you by giving another one on the throne to follow you. And he's going to help your kingdom. Now to the Christian today, God doesn't promise us that we're going to have everything work out just perfect if we follow him. Because Jesus changed it, and he says, in this world there's going to be trials and tribulations. But he says, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And so every Christian is going to have to go through the battle and go through the struggle. There's no way around it. And so when we walk with the Lord, you know, when Jesus, in his life, he had Gethsemane, where he agonized and took the sins of the world. He had the cross where he suffered and died for us. That was in the will of God, the perfect will of God. And so with Solomon, he's giving a special promise here. And he says, I'm going to prosper you if you follow my ways. Well, if we follow his ways, God's going to prosper us spiritually. And there's going to be blessings and there's going to be reward to come. But just remember, maybe you're going through some hard times now. And you think, I don't belong to the Lord, or I wouldn't be having hard times. God hasn't promised you won't have hard times. Annie Johnson Flint was a blind woman, and she wrote these words. She said, God hath not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. God hath not promised we shall not know toil and temptation, trouble and woe. He hath not told us we shall not bear many a burden, many a care. God hath not promised smooth roads and wide, swift, easy travel needing no guide. Never a mountain rocky and steep, never a river turbid and deep. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. That's what God promises us. And so we walk with the Lord. God will bless us in 1,000 ways and more. And there's no joy in the world more than walking with the Lord. And so I guess I have to say, do you know Jesus, Dad? Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted him? Maybe you've been thinking about it for a long time. Maybe you're a grandpa now, and you need to have the Lord. And God maybe is talking to you right now, and he's telling you, I want to come in. I stand at the door and knock. And he says, if you open the door, I will come in, and I'll sup with him. I'll fellowship with you. I'll dwell with you. I'll be in your life. I'll be in your soul. I'll be in your heart. And you'll get strength that you never ever had before. You'll be a new creation, and God will give us strength and help. And you're saying, oh, yes, I need that. And then you're thinking about, well, I think I'll accept the Lord. And then you'll have something, there'll be something that'll say, well, why don't you wait until tomorrow? Why don't you wait till Mother's Day? Or why don't you wait till Christmas? Or why don't you wait till another? Just, you don't have to do it right now. You know what that voice is? That's the devil. The devil will never tell you not to accept Jesus. He'll tell you to wait. And you'll wait, and you'll wait, and you'll be lost. And so you need to just say, in spite of whatever the devil is saying, whatever's happening in your life, whatever the battle might be, there's a battle for your soul. The devil wants it, and Jesus wants it. And you're the one who'll decide who will get it. And if you want Jesus to have it, you have to make the move. You have to ask Jesus to help you. You have to ask him to come into your heart and take away your sins. Just use your own words and just tell Jesus you're a sinner. Billy Graham says maybe if there's some awful big sin you want to confess, confess it, name it. And confess your sins. You can't confess all of them. You can't name them all. You don't know them all. There may be sins of omission that you didn't even realize you were doing. So then just say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner, and I just ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin, and I'll make you the Lord of my life, and I'll live for you the best I can. And then thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. I was 10 years old when I did that, and I'm going to tell you, he's been with me 85 years, and there's never been a minute he hasn't been with me, and he'll be with you. And then you tell somebody, tell your wife. She'll be thrilled to death. She's been praying for you for how long? I don't know. You tell her, and then you write to us, and we'll send you some literature. Write to the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002-2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can send it on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you can know that the money will be used wisely because we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. We're going to count on you to help us and to pray for us. Now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. Thank you for the dads. Thank you for so many fathers we believe that have right now have been accepting you as their Savior. And thank you that you'll help us, and we'll be a good father, a better father, and we'll have eternity in view. We'll be with you forever. So we thank you and praise you in the Savior's name. Amen. We hope that you'll tell others about our service. Maybe they can join us. We're going to have a special service next Sunday, so I hope you'll join us for that. And just always remember that we're praying for you, but we need your prayers. So you pray for the Christian Worship Hour and pray that all that we do will honor Jesus, that we'll honor God, that we'll uplift the Lord Jesus, and that will only Christ will be seen, and that many will come to a saving grace of the Lord, and the Christians will be helped, young and old, encouraged along the way. Oh, it's wonderful to walk the Christian life. I've done it for 85 years. I stumbled a lot of times, but he's never forsaken me, never let me down. And maybe some of you just starting your walk now, maybe others you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, you're having a hard time of it. Just lean on him, love him and trust him. He loves you and he'll help you all the way. God bless you. We love you all and we'll be looking for you next Lord's Day, God willing. In Jesus' name, amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.